Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. It's amazing when a father, a biological father, accepts fatherhood from another man. You know how fathers are very, they are not so simple when it comes to their daughters. I mean the good fathers. And so at that wedding, and even then before I knew that, Robin is very close to her dad. But Muzei stood up and actually really acknowledged fatherhood in a different way. So that is it's a very good thing, not so? Amen? Yes. Psalm 136, verse 1 to 3. When I entered, this is the verse that was up. And then later, pastors changed. I don't know if you had told him to put it up, so we are going to read it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercies endure forever. We are going to read it together. Up to number 3, only that, yes. So we're going to read it together and loudly. Please, on my cue. Oh, give thanks, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Amen and amen. Rachel, did you share something with Pastor? You didn't? You're sure? What I sent you? Now. Praise the Lord. The Lord is in this place. Amen? Amen. I was looking for Rachel earlier on just to ask her if she had shared with Pastor the YouTube clip I sent her for Kenneth Hagin. Now, guys, I want to encourage you, if you can make it for the Thursday prayer meetings, please do. It makes our work much easier. Hallelujah. Especially when you're a preacher, because you don't want to keep going back to something. So I'm just going to fast track or truncate whatever happened. So during the week, I didn't write the prayer call for Thursday. So I asked Rachel to write something and send it to me. I look at it, then we send it out. So Rachel went ahead and did. So whatever she wrote to me, she sent. But as I was waiting for her to send what she had written, I decided to just go on YouTube and listen to a sermon. And of course, I went to Kenneth Hagin. I'm like, let me just hear something playing in the background as I do my work. So the sermon starts, and guess what? He's talking about, really, basically, this verse. So he starts by telling people to repeat that verse over and over again. And now this is where I was asking Rachel if she sent Pastor that recording, that YouTube clip. So when Rachel later sent what she had written, I looked at it, and guess what? She quoted the exact words from Chronicles that Kenneth Hagin had been telling people to repeat after him. Now, it was so much for me because, first of all, I was like, but you know how Kenneth Hagin is. You see the sermon, it is like 1 hour, 30 minutes, 48 seconds. You're like, man, I'm going to burn my MBs. But then I'm like, can he just get to where he's going? You know Kenneth Hagin's sermons. And then I stop, and I also, because he was telling people to repeat that verse over and over again, I also stood and I repeated it. I'm like, praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever, yeah? And now, coming from Thursday to today this morning, when I entered, I find that verse up. And I'm like, okay. And then, guess what? Pastor changes and he starts his annual service. So he starts with Psalm 118, verse 24. And the title of the sermon, which I sent Rachel, was called This Is the Day. And Kenneth Hagin, in that very sermon, goes ahead to explain Psalm 118, verse 24. Glory to God. So if you are the preacher for today, what would you do? Just give thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I have a different sermon from that sermon of Kenneth Hagin. But listen, this is the day of your salvation. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. So I'm going to get a card from there, put it here, then I continue. 20 bars. When God says this is the day that he has made, we should rejoice and be glad in it. According to what Kenneth Hagin taught, he said the word day could mean a season. And he said 1,001 day in the eyes of God is like 1,000 years. Hallelujah, Eliti. We are going to resume Bible study at this rate. Yeah? And 1,000 years to God is one day. So that verse technically means God creates time, works in and out of time. He is in charge of that time. He is in charge of the today, the past, the future, and the present. And so today could be your time of your day of salvation, your season of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, of visitation. Whatever you need today could be that. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, when the Bible says that this is the day of your salvation, he explained the Greek and whatever of that word salvation, it is really not meaning being born again. It's actually meaning you having an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can, when you're born again, when you're Christian, you continue having experiences with the Lord. Amen? And in those experiences, you are delivered, you are set free, you are met, you are healed, you are restored, whatever you need. It is your day of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? So, I feel so blessed to stand here and just, like, be part of this all. And thank you so much, worship team. You really make our lives a lot easier, yeah? Thank you so, so much. Whatever happens here with standing, hallelujah. Amen. So, well, when I was preparing, I was like, God, chichi, like, what should I tell people? And there's, like I've said before, there's so much we can preach about and so much that we know. But you really, like, when you're told to minister, and this is something that I learned a long time ago, seek God, eh? Seek God about what he wants to tell the people. Chill those things of what you feel, what you think, what you're learning, your personal lessons and all that. Just seek God. And for me, I was like, now I think, when was I told I was going to preach? Friday. So I'm like, God, we have a very short time to nail this. But you know, for me, the sermon, I didn't know it had started, like, during the week. Hallelujah. So God prepares us, and that is how we are ready in and out of season. And today we are going to talk about the plans of God, the good, good plans of God, basing from Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, let's do NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future, to give you a hope and a future. Give me NKJV. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. It's very interesting that, you know, we all know this scripture. When you get born again, it's one of the very first scriptures you come across. Like, yeah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. You quote it, you quote it, you quote it. And before you know it, it has lost its initial effect it had on you, okay? And then, as time goes on, life becomes difficult. You realize that when you are told that, you know, when you get born again, all your problems, whee, they go. So you start to doubt this future and plan that the Lord has for you. By the way, let's clap for Robin and Brian. as they came here, Bran kept the protocol, all protocol observed. For us, they call you in front and they say, come and stand next to me. You choose which side you want, as long as you're there. So God has great plans for you. And so when the rubber hits the road and it becomes so, so difficult, even for the most mature Christians, they doubt the plans of God. They say, but these plans and thoughts, are they really good? Are they giving me? Like, the future becomes bleak. And then I realized that, you know, when things are good, there is a good time for you to get, there are some things or some revelations, I believe, that should be cemented in our lives as a Christian or as Christians. Revelations concerning the love of God. You should never wake up and doubt that the Lord loves you. Revelations concerning who Jesus is. You should never wake up and you actually do not know that he is two things, your Lord and Savior. Okay? So there are things that I believe that as a Christian, and some of these things are, that the Lord has good, good plans for you. Never, ever doubt that. But this is one of the things that when we get born again, you jump right into. But then, when things become hard, you're like, God, this future that you're talking about, yeah? I really don't know. I don't think so. But let me give you the context of this verse. Actually, when you read the Bible, it's good to always know the context. Why? How? Who was he speaking to? What was the audience of the prophet Jeremiah? Where was Israel at that time? When you read the word of God, ask yourself those questions, and then you'll understand some of these things in context. And I believe that even when something is in context, God can still use it to minister to you in a different way. But the principle is the same, that the word of God is true, it never lies. The revelations of God, that God is self-revealing, he reveals himself to you. So this scripture was, of course, it's Prophet Jeremiah who had this message for Israel. But the setting in Israel at that time was this. You know that Israel, out of many, many years of disobedience and idolatry and all these things, God decided to judge Israel using a pagan nation, which was Babylon, under the king Nebuchadnezzar, to come and take them into exile. It's so easy to believe that good thoughts, God has good thoughts towards some people. And that is where now the challenge comes. You look at someone, you look at Bruce, or you look at Dabagole, or you look at Teddy, and you say, you know, I think Teddy Wally, she deserves, you know, God's good things and all that. And so when they tell you that God has called Teddy to be, no, let me use Esther. God has called Esther to be a worship leader, the best worship leader in Eastern Southern Africa. It's easy for you to believe that for her. But when it comes to you, and especially during a very difficult time, it is very difficult for you to believe, even if God sent you by the word dream. And I've realized that because sometimes we doubt God's goodness towards us, God's mercies towards us, even when he sends you an authentic dream, you can interpret it wrong because you're like, it possibly cannot be. It just cannot be me. But you can interpret the same dream for someone else if it came and you're like, yeah, but when it comes to you, you're like, oh, kula, I don't know how, like, how can this be? Like, no, yeah? In the last week and the week past, yeah, we had great dreams coming to us about LAT. Now I must confess that just like you, I also have weaknesses, yeah, in believing sometimes. There are things that come so easy for me to believe concerning our destiny in LAT. Things to do with prosperity. For me, that one, you don't have to tell me anything. I will stand and say, we shall be prosperous. Come and buy and buy. Why? Because I have seen people who don't even have God prospering. I'm like, how much more for us who have the Lord? No, we must prosper. We must, as in, who have the Lord and want to please him and, you know, you seek his will. And I'm like, no, there's just really no reason. So all these things about, the prosperity of LAT. Like, I don't need to read our book and I get blue in the eyes. For me, on chapter one, I'm like, we are going to get prosperous. Don't tease, yeah? There are things that I believe about the promises that God has given us in the past, about our worship team. I'm like, God, first of all, the recommendations come from heaven. It becomes very easy for you to believe, eh? Like, at least for me. Yeah, I don't know about you. Maybe Esther believes differently. But for me, Joanne, I actually really believe those things that you guys, that your gifts will be multiplied. God has a plan for our worship. It's going to be big. The numbers are going to come. It will be great and awesome worship. But most of all, it will be worship that pleases Him. That is very easy for me to believe. Last week, a dream comes that we have the leadership anointing. Now, another thing that is easy for me to believe is spiritual leadership in LAT. That, you know, God, yeah, being the head of the church, of our world, Pentecost, the anointings are multiplying, the prophetic, the apostolic, what? Those things, I believed them, and I still believe them. Now, last week, we get a dream from someone who tafters dreams, from someone who is, if you didn't come for the Thursday prayer meeting, you missed that one. But So last week we get a dream, and in the dream, God is telling us that there is a leadership anointing. And this leadership anointing, it is not the other one that is easy for me to believe. It is political leadership. I'm like, God, really? This, like, how? And then the week before, there was also another dream, really pointing in the same direction. Now, those things, for me, I felt very challenged. And God was like, So I have good plans and thoughts towards LAT. Do you believe them? Or you choose to believe some things, and some things you're like, You sit and you're like, I don't see political leadership. And then God says, you see, there is saying, there was in that dream that Pastor shared for the word, in the word for the week, there was a time frame that there shall be a fulfillment of some of these things in the near future. I'm like, alas, God. Like, I really, like, this is, even this too, it's too great. It's like those thoughts concerning LAT are too wonderful. And I'm like, now those are the same thoughts towards, well, you know, when I say LAT, I hope you people know that I'm meaning you. You know, I think I should stop saying LAT, because when I say LAT, it's like as if I have removed you and LAT is there. It is the church there, not you, the church. So I'm like, God. What are we going to do? How shall this be? Then the Bible tells us that the thoughts of God towards you are so wonderful. David says that they are too high for, like, he can't, they are too wondrous, like, things that the Lord thinks about him are too wondrous for him to even imagine. Hallelujah. So, I'm like, So I was really, 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 really challenged. And not that I doubt God, but you see, when you know the other reason why you will find it difficult to believe some of these things, to believe that God the Father has great thoughts concerning you, is that you know yourself so well. You are your worst critic. Even on a good day, you will give yourself 30%. Okay? Even on a good day. There are many times when I would come here, in those days when I just started preaching, I would come and preach, and I would find it so difficult to listen to the things I have preached, like the audio version of me. I'd be like, the time I tried, I felt so sorrowful in my heart. I said, like, how can I preach that? I feel like I'm at a certain level of articulation. But when you're given the mic, it's where articulation goes, those ends, what, like, and then, you know, the first sermon I listened to, I told myself, it's the last one. I'll never listen to myself again. I pity even, like, people that listen to me. I'm like, maybe I'm better with children. So I would go and just, you know, keep criticizing myself. Yet, God, Bambi, during that time, of course, he's teaching you and, you know, you're growing. But, you know, he sends you people who say, you know, your sermon really blessed me. Don't come to me and tell me that. I'm not asking for it. But you see, people would come and say, oh, this blessed me. And over time, I started to see the effect of the word of God, yeah, that is preached in LAT, either by me or Pastor Moses or whoever. I started to see the compounded effect of that word in people's lives. And I said, God, you really, like, minister to people beyond us who stand here before you. And that really, really humbled me. So when God, like, if you had told me 7 years ago or eight that I would stand here and, you know, start preaching to people, I'd be like, no, that is too great. It's too, it was sibyange, yeah? But then here I am today. And now it's easier for me to believe the work that God is doing through me right now, because even then he was still the one. So if I believe that his hand touched me, then I still have to believe that even right now in my present, he's still with me. Glory to God. So I hope that you can learn something from there. So because you know that, you know your shortcomings, you know your weaknesses, you know what you are. You're that person who goes to bed and you look in the mirror and you say, now, here I am, I stand. And there is nothing. You look at yourself and you're like, no, I just cannot qualify for this. You immediately disqualify yourself from the good thoughts of God concerning you. You go to God and you're like, but I don't have, like, if God promised you, say if he promised you, maybe a jet. You know, it's very difficult for you to believe that promise, yeah? Because you're like, even you see God the other day, I was struggling to tithe, even giving, I struggle. You're like, you really know your weaknesses. And so it's very difficult for you to bring your point to think like God, the way God thinks about you. You find it so difficult to think the way God thinks about you. But human beings are funny, that they would believe a person's thoughts about them over God's thoughts about them. Amazing, yeah? Ladies, oh, by the way, I digress again. Now, I met Pastor's mother. When he says she's 75 years old, you people, we were just there, I think, with Lydia, just admiring the old woman. Because she didn't even look old, and you know us ladies, we're just looking at her hair, we're just saying, shall we look like that? About what, yeah? Pastor's mother looks very young. Like she looks like she's maybe like in, I would give her late like 60s. And it's a great thing for us. So why am I bringing up that example? Ladies, yeah, especially I think us ladies. The Bible tells you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But until a guy comes now Kusudi and he tells you are fearfully and wonderfully, you will not believe it. Then he starts now articulating the points. You see your hair, about your watch, your smell, and now you start believing those things. That one, now when we come to church and we say we are fearfully and wonderfully made, you're like, yeah, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That very person, if they ever come and tell you, by the way, you're the ugliest girl I've ever seen, they are checking you, meanwhile, you're the ugliest, I don't even know what, I think I was blinded. And all of a sudden, you what? You crumble. Then the people who believe the word of God are so confident that now believers are saying, "Ne yeraba kochi," and the person just read the word of God and said, "Ah, kwanza I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." So they walk in, they are confident, what you confie, and you're like, "But yeraba kochi, you are inachi, my friend. They have what for you don't have. They found it in the Bible, the authentic place. They got it from their father. Hallelujah." When their father told them that they were beautiful, chakwata. So, by the fathers here, I think we shall be celebrating Father's Day soon, yeah? I hope you're doing a great job. It's today. No, in other countries, it's today actually, but I think in other countries it will be 21st. Yes. Today is Father's Day. Ah. Yes. So today is Father's Day. Hallelujah. Yes. You're a very serious pastor. So, it's amazing. So when fathers tell your daughters that they are beautiful, and Dennis, say, here we are, our brother's keepers. So we know. So you have to tell your daughters that they are beautiful. So that when they meet that guy, you pray they don't like. They can say, my father already told me, please. And they walk away. Yeah? Please tell your daughters that they are beautiful. And it will help them. It will help them not to go craving for these things, for attention from other people. You just never, you put children see things. Children see things and they interpret them. Like someone once said, children are the greatest observers, but the worst interpreters. Children see things and they interpret them. Yesterday the children told me that we're seated at the table. And then they say, because we had been at their school, there was a meeting. So in that meeting, they called up a few parents and their children and interviewed them through, took them through an interview about some aspects, yeah? It was really basically doing housework and chores at home and, work ethic and things like that. And my children said, yeah? So I asked them, what do you think about that? Kwezi and Kwanzi said, Mommy, I think you and Pastor Moses should be interviewed on picking children early. And then they started saying, now Nkwanzi is the one. You know, Mwana Yogeleza, their parent, Nkwanzi is the one. She said, I think they would say, Mrs. Isoke and Pastor Moses Musinguzi, please come, introduce yourselves, and your children. And so they said, how do you make sure you keep time? How do you what? I looked at my daughter, I'm like, really? But it's because me and Pastor Moses pick our children early. We are there, I think, before 4. Then I think it was Kwezi who said, Mommy would say, maybe when it comes to towards 4 o'clock, I'm already going up the steps. Because these are things I keep telling them, that for me, I don't want to be delayed. Just know that when you're in your class, as it's coming towards 4 o'clock, know that Mommy is on the step coming. So for you, don't wait for the bell. Just know that Mommy's what is, don't wait for the bell to ring. Just know that your mother is on the way. But why am I giving this example? Because children, now imagine how they're interpreting this. Yeah? For us, we are there doing our thing, seven night, emundwisa, what. Now, of course, I know that if the lesson sticks long enough, they'll learn timekeeping. Glory to God. Be right behind what they were saying. There was something, because we talked about, they asked us, why did they call those parents? So I explained to them that there is something about these children that distinguishes them from the others. And the administration saw that, and so they called the children and their parents, and they were just trying to ask them a few things. As in, this, by the children's conduct, they set their families apart. So the question I asked them was, so what distinguishes me from others? I didn't know that in there they would throw in Pastor Moses. Yeah, this was totally, I didn't mean it, but yeah. So this, right behind, like at the backdrop of that, you see that to them, what is distinguishing me is, one of the things I hope among many, is keeping time. Yeah, but they'll not say it like that because they don't have that deep, mature thinking like me, or the cognitive, ability to just see it. So, I don't know why I went there, but God has great thoughts concerning you. And we're going to talk about the thoughts of God. You know, when we read from NIV, it says, I know the plans, NIV, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. You know that God, your father, is a planner. You know that he is a planner. There are people who like to be spontaneous. And that's okay. You wake up in the morning, you say, kati ngenda wano, zero plan, ngenda wano, chenna sanga. Ani agendo kuyimba, gwenna alaba. Ani agendo kola on the lights, gwenna sanga yo, yo yo. You know you have to follow the spirit of God. Eh? Like, when you have order, when you plan things, you smother the spirit of God. But you see, God is a planner. And God actually respects plans because he makes them. Glory to God. God is not reactive. That something first happens in your life, nache kanga, and it's like, my God, No. The Bible tells us that the number of days, your number of days are written in that, like, you know that if the number of days you're going to spend on earth are written somewhere, in a book somewhere, that means that if it is planned to that detail, that means that your day to day is planned as well. Glory to God. Nothing gets God, like, off, you know? Like, when people are going to get married, they even shock some. Sometimes people shock their parents. Yeah? And these things are not good. You go, you shock your... Because I'm a parent, I don't want crazy to come and tell me, I'm getting married next week. No, please. Eh? You come, you tell us, and we plan like God the Father. Amen? We don't want to be reactive, say, kawalacha, ko what? Well, you bring the girl, let us know the girl, we get to love her, we get to interact with her. If we have to bounce her, we can also look at that. If a dream comes that we also tell you, like that, yeah? So God is a planner. So your days are not left to chance. That is why I think in a prayer meeting I told people one day, Don't underlook your current day and how it is going. If your days are planned, it behooves you to wake up in the morning and ask God into your day. Make a prayer, at least, at the very least, pray inviting the presence of God into your day. Because that day is planned. The Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, has planned that day. How many of you fathers here do not know what your children do during the day? You know at least, okay, they are at school, they are studying, that is good. You know that between this time my child is studying, this time and this time they are going to come home. They usually sleep at around this time. You earthly fathers, how much more for your Father in heaven? We are talking about the plans of God. So God is a planner. And I'm not even going to talk about he planned the creation. We are not there. I'm just talking about how he plans your day. He has plans for your day. There is a time Pastor Moses sent out, it was a video, an audio. It was I think a word for the week or something, where either it was a word for the week, I'm trying to remember, but it was something written, an article, about what kind of day pleases Jesus. I remember that thing, reset my days. I'm like, what kind of day pleases Jesus? And at the end, I think the author said, go as in encouraged people, the readers, yeah, to have days that please Jesus. Ask him, so what am I supposed to do? Like, just maintain that consciousness of the presence of Jesus and what he wants you to do. And go ahead and do it. A life of a Christian and the faith, being faithful to God, is lived one day at a time. So don't be there saying, cancel, okay, when I get to 40, I think I'm going to deal with this vice. Deal with it now. In your now, tandi kirao. And if you understand that the life of faithfulness to God is lived one day at a time, that means that you wake up one day and you say, today, I'm living for, tomorrow will care for its own things, but today, I'm living for God. And today, I'm going to, don't think about tomorrow yet, okay? Don't think, if I start the thing, about what? If God has told you to do it then, and then tomorrow will cater for itself. Tomorrow's obedience will come. It will be another day to obey him. But in that moment, in that day, try and have a day that pleases him. Or look out for things that please Jesus. Isn't that simple? So when I go, for me, when I read that article, I'm like, when I, these things of pleasing God about years in ministry, because there are things that please me, John, things that I like to hear. These many years in ministry, Obaya Kolachi, no, what? And I forget that it was one day at a time. One day, it was a January, it was a February, then it went to June. One day at a time. Compounded, it made a difference on earth. Glory to God. Amen. So God is a perfect planner. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you is faithful to complete it. That is what other versions say. Can you say that about the plans God? That if I asked you, so describe to me, yeah? Give me an adjective about what you think about the plans of God concerning your life. Can you say that you are confident that the plans are good? And it is good for you to cement some of these, let me call them revelations, when you're in a good time, because the bad time is coming. The difficult season is coming. But when they are cemented in you and the bad time comes, it won't be so difficult for you to say that even in this very, very difficult time, I am confident that the plans of God concerning me are great. They are good. And not only are his plans good, they are better than yours. Glory to God. That is point number two. God's plans are not only good, but they are better than yours. We take after God the Father that we are also planners in our own way. People plan weddings. People plan to buy things. People plan for their children's education. People plan many things, and it's good to plan. There is something that happened to me a while back, and it got me so jittery. But I realized, let me first go back to the Word of God. I went somewhere, and they were talking about insurance, medical insurance, education insurance, unity trusts, stocks. You know, I mean, to where with you, I'll be honest with you. Stocks and bonds, TBs. You guys, the CBR, who is here? Man, I was so zozzled. I was like, breaking the back of poverty. you people. I told Sam, I went back. There was some other insurance I was told about that when you save and you die, the dependents are given that money, and they advance that money and they're able. I told Sam, how much do we have? Man. I listened to the thing. They're like, sir, we can bring the forms tomorrow. What? I'm like, panange. Like, how much? Then your TBs. I'm like, but someone is telling you to do TBs. A person is telling you to do unit trust. A person is telling you education insurance. Or about lifetime insurance. About lifetime policy. About what? You guys, I left when I was telling Sam, I think we need to work harder. I think we need to something, And I'm like, did you know that Quez is 14? We have up to 16. Singa mukama jana atugamba. That just like he told the Denises, the Mujimbas, take your child to America. I told Sam, man, Sam, we're in trouble. Where to tandikira wafe? So I'm like, do you know that we have just 2 years with Kwezi? 2 years hoping that the Lord tells us that we are, 2 years you hope that you're still with your child and you're still able to pay fees. But also 2 years you hope that he doesn't tell you, how about we should dream that about, I was like, God, we are in trouble. Then Sam, praise the Lord for fathers. He was quick to remind me, Joanna, Abana, Bamkama. Hallelujah. I'm like, okay. He told me, Joan, what's your problem? These children belong to God. Are they yours? You're the one who always tells me, here and above his word, if you really believe that these children belong to God, then even then he'll say, I'm like, no, but we have to save. I hope you guys know that saving is not bad. I hope you know that unit trusts are not bad. And all those things are not bad, okay? So I'm like, but you see, so of course when you bring all the spiritual, the angle, then the logical side, you're like, no, but you have to what? And Sam told me, by the way, even remember that dream I had when Pastor Moses was saying that your children are sorted? See, go, I book one of through the maximum. Now, what are you trying to tell me? I'm like, yeah, but still, okay, that dream came. I'm like, okay, that dream came saying our children are sorted. I was happy. But you see, God can still sort them through a unit trust. About what? But you see, those are plans. You make the plans. And God is a planner, and he can decide to lead you that way. But even if he doesn't lead you that way, remember that his plans are better than yours. Amen? His plans on a bad day are better than your best laid plans on the best day. Glory to God. So as we plan things, you keep asking the master planner that you want that blueprint. Keep seeking God for that blueprint. He will show it to you. Glory to God. So if you know that his plans are good, even in the worst of times, just know that, okay, yes, you'll have a detour. You can have a detour. Something can happen. Tetuganye, that is not on your own accord. Someone can even actually come and take your job. So, like, all these things happen. Guy go back the way siga can die. Yeah? Like, at the very worst, the car you thought you would get someone who has more money can change things and come and what? And buy that car. But you see, even in all those things, remember we say that God is not reactive. He saw it coming and there is a plan for it. So are you in a place that you feel like it's a detour from the original plan? Even in that time, when there is a detour, know that God's plan, God is not a reactive God. He anticipated it and he made provisions for it in his grand plan. Hallelujah. Know these things when the day is still bright, because the darkness will come and you look for that light. Amen? And I think about God's plans. It's God's plans don't include evil. In other versions, that very scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to bring you evil or harm. God, you're children of God, God does not plan evil for you. God is not out there to get you on your worst day, saying, mkukute, bulijo, onsimatuka. God is not like that, you people. We judge God according to how we judge ourselves and how we treat other people. Because sometimes some Christians are those kinds of people who just, you know, they waylay you. They just wait for you like this. Say, bulijo, I always knew there was something about you, Bruce. Kati nkusanzo itawano, Then they broadcast to you, Bruce, or what does this and this and this and this, like, you know? But God is not like that. God, you people, do you know the fatherhood of God? You can't be petty with your child. Let me first speak to the fathers. And you say, mano, no, come, mulinde, bulijo, bulijo. Okay, I have done that sometimes. But me, I'm not a father. I'm talking about fathers. I'm like, oh, mano, no, this child usually tells me that they are reading. Let me tell you, I even remove my shoes in the house. You go and tiptoe and like, oh, so much. Yeah? Crazy, what are you doing? But the winner is I even remove my shoes. I am that petty. You people, yeah? I'm that petty. I remove the shoes because I don't want to. And that, you know how shoes, first of all, they are Crocs. So they don't even make noise. Crazy now, I think he knows I do it. They don't make noise. But even then, banja gana mukwata on the laptop. I'm like, come on, no, no. I don't understand why he set this number of pages. He's not able to finish them, but he has been seated at his workstation. Siman Shakola, I removed the shoes. I'm like, quiz, yeah? But you see, he is... Nowadays, fingers are faster than your legs. So, he changes the screen, and he thinks I don't know. He just does... Like, I don't even know how the fingers are very fast. And then before you know it, I don't know. Yeah? But nowadays for children, technology is a lot faster than what? Than your feet. So before you know it, the screen is blank. He has put their things up. What? Kwanga, he had a plan. He was anticipating. Oh, man, this woman, she's going to come and get me. But God is not out there to get you. And parents are here looking at me like they are holy, but I know you have done those things. You're like, vana, bulijobangamba, they sleep. You send them to bed. Then you even pretend like you're going away, you even whatever the fit in the house. And you're like, Then you come. Mpola, mpola, bacha, yogilo, babebas. So there are people, pastor is saying, Robin, he's not that kind of dad. He's not going to tiptoe. He's not out there to get you. But you know, God doesn't plan evil things. There is nothing evil in God. And people, when they're going through hard times, they're like, mukama yachirese. But this is not it. And sometimes, by the way, it feels like God is the one who has brought it. But many times it is you. You must have done something, given the devil an inroad. And even if you didn't do anything, now there are three things. God can actually judge you. But that God's judgment is usually at the end of the matter. It starts with you doing something. You open up yourself to the devil and he comes in. Okay? And when he comes in, he uses that opportunity to do his wickedness and evil things to mess you up. And God now, at the end of that story, he uses that very thing to turn you back to him. How can he use it? He can judge you, or he can let you go through the consequences, the natural consequences of what you did. That is one. Number two, sometimes, actually, it has nothing to do with you. It is the baptism of suffering. And it's just that. Because the Bible says that whoever lives a godly life in 1 Timothy, they will face suffering and persecution. Whether you have done something or not, it can just be that, suffering and persecution. But at the end of the day, you realize that God never planned it. Yeah? He what? He actually gets you. God can use a bad experience, like the way he used the experience of Joseph, to turn everything around. But God never planned that. He let it happen using the opportunity of the wickedness of Joseph's brothers. But he never planned it. He sat there and said, Joseph, I am going to send you to Egypt. As well, no, Joseph, I'm going to get you. No. What had Joseph done for God to get him? Yeah? At that point, nothing. He just had brothers who were not, you know, they had wicked intentions, and God is like, okay, even that one, I am going to use it. So God is not out there to get you. On your bad day, your worst day as a Christian, know that even when you're going through judgment or consequences of a decision you made that threw you in a ditch, please do everything you can to restrain from thinking that God is out there to get you. Because the moment you start on that train of thought that God is out there to get you, where are you going to run to for help? When you start to think that, God, you planned this for me, you wanted to finish me, what? Where are you going to get help from? Okay? So God's plans do not include disaster and evil. But he will use those things to make his purposes come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. His purposes always prevail. Proverbs 19:21. The purposes of God shall prevail. I hope by now you know in LAT that our plan is different from our purpose. Yeah? Mission, objectives. How many people are here? Objectives, vision, mission. People who are, we have leaders, Pastor, we have to start speaking this language. Vision, mission, objectives. Yes. Yeah? So, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or purpose in other versions, will stand. The Lord's purpose always stands. When I make lessons for Sunday school, I always have a purpose, the aim. Then I have the small objectives. But usually I send it out as just the aim. And I send different things. Today we are aiming at teaching the children this aspect, this and this and this. We are hoping to achieve this. There is a plan. There is the God's purpose for your life is big. It's one, it's grand. But he has different plans of how that can come to pass. Just like you know, that there is in building, the purpose for construction is a finished house and a livable one, okay? But you have to plan. There are different stages and ways to get there. And that you institute different plans. There is a critical path and the non-critical path. I'm a very good student for my husband. I think he'll be very happy. Wangayambu, is that critical path? Is it critical path? Yeah? If it's not critical path, we shift. I'm like, until a dream came and saved me. About the actual time for shifting. So, the plans of God, the purpose of God will always prevail. The plan can change, but the purpose will always prevail. Never get lied to that when you see people lifting up their hands, it's because everything is okay with them. Sometimes it's because we have understood that even if today was bad, even if today's plan didn't work, I know, God, that your purpose for me shall prevail. And because of that, I will worship you, and nothing is going to stop me. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope you know that sometimes plans can abort. Yes, sometimes plans can abort. God sets you up on a mission. Then as you're on that mission, he sees something coming. You know, God is, Jesus is a mighty man of war. He just says, plan abort, abort, abort. Yeah? So the thing aborts. And he says, hey, soldier, first come back. Let's first retrieve. He retrieves you, yeah, as a wounded man of war. He takes you, drags you, takes you. And he nakudabiliza, what gives you CPR, what. And then when you're ready, he says, up. Let's keep what? Going. I hope you know that the plans of God sometimes get aborted. Eh? But his purposes for you will stand. Banange, you people, his purposes for you will stand. Come on, Bayam. Like his purposes will stand. It doesn't matter how many times you can do something, yeah? And you can try. I was just thinking about, I think when I was preparing, like, how many times, when I was preparing, I remembered that someone I once listened to, and someone was talking about closed doors. And they said that all the churches that Paul established, and actually I followed it up and studied, all the churches, Thessalonica, Colossians, what, all of those were born out of closed doors. Paul gets a vision telling someone came to him and told him to go and preach in Macedonia. He gets up, goes to preach in Macedonia. When he reached there, they lynched him and put him in oil. He got a vision to go to Macedonia, but he goes there and they grab him and they're good. But was the vision right or it was wrong? Was it from God or it wasn't? I hope you know that sometimes there are closed doors. And sometimes actually doors close on you. But God always opens another one. Glory to God. He will keep pursuing his purpose more than you. And he wants these things more than you want them. Sometimes it's hard for you to believe it, that you can want something so bad. Yeah? But on the flip side, God tells you, but I even want it badder than you. So get your emotion and put it in God and just do that to the power 10. That is how badly God wants to fulfill his promises concerning you. Why? Because his name is at stake. It's not about you. His name is at stake. Are you going to fight for his name? How many Christians are here that God can use to fight for his name? There are very many. So Tolowoza, you're the best of them, eh? Meaning that God cannot leave his name to the whims of human beings, much less the devil. So because of that, because a lot, his name is at stake. His glory has to be revealed. His love must be revealed. He will fulfill that purpose. It's beyond you. You think you want that promise so bad. God wants it more than you. Get that desire that you have for that thing to the power 10. That is how much God wants that thing. Why? Because for you, maybe you want your car to feel nice in it and what, but God is looking beyond your feeling nice. They have to see my glory through you, my name. Yeah, I want to bless many people through you. So that is why it's so important for God to fulfill that purpose. Glory to God. Amen. So God's purposes and plans, his purposes shall prevail, they shall come to pass. Let's look at, I think it was Genesis 12. I don't know if I said that. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is about, especially this, is about, you know, about the purposes of God and how we see that play through someone's life. It is the life of Abraham, the father of nations, yeah? So Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is a great and wonderful promise that God gave Abraham. Abraham believed the Lord, and he moved out of his father's land, Terah, and started going towards the promised land. Weyatuka. There was a famine. Yeah, a famine came. It was so, so bad. Abraham thought he was going to die. But remember, he had believed God. And it's because he believed him that he started moving towards that land that God said he would give him. But when things became tight, Abraham said, you know what? Famine is going to kill me. That is first of all, number one. If you have believed God that through you, families of the earth will be blessed, why would you die in a famine? Why would God kill you in a famine? Like, where would God allow a famine to take you out? So, Abraham is like, let me first go down to Egypt for some help. Things are tight. So, Abraham leaves where he was. He goes to Egypt. When he reaches Egypt, guess what happens? He tells Sarah, you're very beautiful. They are going to what? So let's just say that you're my what? You're my sister. Tayalimba, but he operated in deception. So we see that the lady is taken away from Abraham. Abraham, by the way, is treated nicely. I don't know if he ate those slugs and snails while celebrating this. I don't know what was going through his head, that they can take your wife. No, you made no go in a way, please. Day in, day out. As in, but do you know what happened? God could not let his purpose for Abraham depend on Abraham. He said at night, he plagued the house of Pharaoh with a disease. The Bible doesn't say he killed them. He plagued them with a disease. God is a fair judge, okay? But somehow, he plagued them with something that was good enough to know, even in their being atheist or, not believers in God, the God of heaven, that when such a thing happens, that means that tusobeza, waliwo God gwe tusobeza. They looked around and they're like, checha chuse, umchalono. So God could not let Sarai's womb to be defiled that night because he had promised that through that womb, he knew that through Sarai's womb, the families of the earth would be blessed. How then could that womb be defiled by the Pharaoh? God couldn't allow that. Glory to God. So the lady is taken back and Abraham is actually sent away. You can say he was still growing in faith and learning to believe God, but the point is God's purposes for Abraham, even in that land, they could not be they must come to pass. They had to come to pass. Whether by yalimba, or by teyalimba, or by what, God will do anything. Glory to God. So God is a good father. Amen. His plans are perfect. They are good. They are better than your plans. Even when you have detours, God, remember that God is not reactive. God thinks great, great thoughts towards you. His thoughts are so vast. There are a million of them that you cannot even comprehend them. They are too wonderful for you. So I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know, maybe you're in the promised land and you feel you're not in the promised land, but we come here every day, every week in, week out. Someone mentioned something about the promised land. Okay? But for your like, I'm not seeing that. You're in the dumps. But I'm here to remind you that God's plan for you is good. It is good. It is perfect. God is a good, good God. He is a good father. Hallelujah. He is a great father. All right? So dare to believe him. This sermon sounds very simple. But if we believed God for what he says he is, for the kind of father he says he is and the thoughts that he has towards us, then we would trust him more. We wouldn't try to do our own things when things are going bad. We wouldn't chill him. He says, Like you wouldn't do that. Hallelujah. Amen, Eleti. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for listening.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.